positive soul music.
I hear the sound of a mighty rushing wind.
Welcome to Issues of Life on Spirit 88.3 FM. 60 minutes of news, prophecies, music, and the Word every Saturday from 8 to 9 p.m. Get revived, inspired, motivated, and warned about the times we are living in. Prophecies of old are unfolding right before our eyes every day. Verses in the Bible are today's headline news. Don't be ignorant, but be an informed believer. Join Brother Eben for the next 60 minutes and be blessed. Get this edition and others from spiritissues.info.
We'll be
good evening to our listeners. This is Spirit 88.3 FM. I'm Eben. Thank you for tuning in to the station. It's always a privilege to come your way. You know, Saturdays are very busy days, but we always add it to our schedule when it's appropriate and it's convenient. I'm in town. So this evening, we thank God for another day. And we'll be continuing with what we started last weekend. We had LP Hetty joining us, and tonight she's not here yet, but we are still going on. The program is still going to go on. First, talk a little bit about a few things in the news, but then the major issue will still be discussed regarding the parenting and the things happening in the world. All right, so thank you for tuning in. Greetings to listeners wherever, outside the country and outside the region, wherever you are. Last week, we had a very productive and interesting discussion. And, you know, I'll be talking about the news soon. But then, yesterday, I had a call from a friend. And I also say he's a prophet. Yeah. And, you know, regarding last week's thing that we did, the program that we did, the discussion, and this is very warning, a very worrying warning to parents. The news item is quite short, so let me just say this first and then get to the news. So let me just finish the news then. But, you know, it's so depressing when you hear what is happening in our schools. It's very, very depressing. And, you know, the times we are in calls for serious vigilance as parents. Not just vigilance in using our strategies, our eyes and ears and, you know, planning and controls and all that. But we really have to take the extra step regarding the spiritual aspects, the prayer, because the devil is really playing a serious game. And it seems many are being caught on the wrong side. And the havoc being caused is quite... You know, last week I made a statement during the discussion that we have some children who are like satanic ambassadors in schools. I mean, their mission and purpose is to just destroy others. That's their mandate. They are just there to spread and destroy. And, you know, some are in some schools, school A, class whatever. When they finish destroying people in the class, then the parents take the child from the school, they whatever arrange, they move to another area, they move to another school, gets into another class. I mean, so like moving evangelists, just pulling souls for the devil. And some are starting at very young ages. So imagine a child who starts this destructive agenda from KG, class one. So by the time this child gets to JHS, university, SS, and all, you can imagine the number of people such a person has pulled into the dark side. And it's not just, we have them in the schools. They are in the schools. they are in the schools. Because I remember listening to one lady's case, and she said, I mean, she had, I've forgotten, it's been a while now, but as at the time she was talking, she had recruited hundreds of girls into lesbianism in the country. Just one person. She has been able to recruit hundreds into the club. I mean, their club or whatever they do it. So just imagine. And these are in the schools. They are in our societies. And they are recruiting. You know, it's seriously getting to the point where, you see, Christians have to, you know, we've slept for too long. I mean, the church has slept for too long. I mean, that one, I always say it, and I always say it, I'll keep saying it. The church has slept for far too long. We've allowed the devil too much room to operate without any serious restrictions. And he's just done whatever he wants to do freely. And because some of these people are in the church. I remember 2 years ago, someone sent me a message. And the message, I think I read it then, I've forgotten. But in it, it was to the effect that even in the choir, there were lesbians in the choir. Yes. So it's happening. I mean, we have the system being infiltrated, and they are doing their things within the church. So the question is, what has happened to the church? You know, years back, someone made a statement, and it made so much sense. When the fire is dying or is dead, that's when snakes can play in the midst of the sticks. And that's exactly what is happening. If these people can feel free, operate, and even recruit within the church, something is dead. The fire is dead. Because if the fire is really burning, they cannot be comfortable in the church. No, they cannot. They cannot be comfortable in the church. The fact that these people are operating freely in the church means the fire is dead, is dying or dead, whatever. But there's no serious fire to burn the snakes. There's no serious fire to burn the snakes. So the snakes are moving and biting people, infecting people, doing whatever they will do, and spreading the poison, spreading the lust, spreading everything they want to do. And they are in the church. They are in the church. You know, it's serious because if we're talking about adults only, well, adults, discerning adults, they know what they are doing and all that. But the greater concern is the children. And that's where the issue is. I'll get back to it. Let me just finish the news and then we'll flow from there. So, leader of Hindu nationalist group RSS denies anti-Christian claims amid rising persecution. And then the general secretary of the Hindu nationalist organization, Rashitya Shwasmaska Sangh, denied claims that his group is anti-Christian during an event in Washington, D.C. earlier this week. You know, there are some lies that if you are telling, you have to make sure that there are windows in the room for you to escape through. Because this is no secret. For those who have listened to this program for some time, the Hindu persecution, I mean, the Hindus attacking Christians and all that. It is this party, this group, that has been doing it. And then yet you say you don't persecute Christians. I mean, Christians, there are numerous news items. You go, you see them, I mean, Christians being beaten with sticks, being killed, being banished from villages, being all sorts of things. They are behind it. But just see how he's saying it beautifully. Because we have a few, I mean, I think just 3 headlines from India. Let me just the headlines. Christian groups speak out against a bill that could lead to land seizure in India. So they are pushing a new bill, which is a way targeting Christian NGOs, churches, because they know some get funding from outside. So indirectly, they want to use a clause in the bill to attack the church in a way that means they can seize your property and all that when funding some... You know, the clause is clearly anti-Christian by nature. Then this headline says, Indian government delays foreign donations bill after concern from Christian leaders. Then the third one says, Indian court stays proceedings against priest who preached that Jesus is the only way. Now, this one, won't hear sense why by force. Jesus is the only way, if you don't understand it. You to go and say your own that yours is the only way. If you can say it, you to say it. Everybody is free to say what they want to say. If he says Jesus is the only way, and you don't want it, you don't believe it, you to say that your Hindu whatever is the only way. And no, I mean, this whole thing, if you can't be bold to say it, then that is not the fact. The one who is bold to say it says this. He has said it. Disprove it. Or what's the big deal? But no, they will disagree and they will arrest you. And, you know, when you hear these things happening in the Far East, I mean, India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, Indonesia, all these places, it's not too much of a news. But it is a bigger news when it's happening in United Kingdom, UK. I mean, the persecution that is happening there now in very strange ways. This headline says, I like the way they put it, slippery slope. UK police continue efforts to criminalize public preaching. Bread of Life Community Church in Essex has received a community protection notice that could make it a criminal offense for its pastor and members to preach in Colchester City Centre, marking a potentially unprecedented move targeting an entire church and the content of its message, not just how it is delivered. So don't say it. Don't preach. You know, I saw one news recently, someone who preached that John 3:16, for God so loved the world. I think last week I talked about it. The other ones, people are arrested for just saying, you know, Jesus is the only way, for saying Jesus loves you. I mean, all sorts of things are happening. People are just being arrested, harassed, persecuted. And, you know, it tells you how low the system is going, how anti-Christ and anti-God the world is becoming. And, you know, a time will come, virtually, there will be places where even to hear the word Jesus, it will be a crime, as it is in some places already. I mean, to mention Jesus to be a crime, because in North Korea, you can't mention Jesus there. It's a crime. I mean, you can be killed even for that. But the hatred is accelerating, is expanding, and is increasing in various ways. In countries where you thought they were developed, they were advanced, they were not just developed and advanced, but even Christianity was the bedrock of the society hundreds of years ago. And the question is, what happened? What happened? You know, that is why we should never take it for granted when we say, oh, we are a Christian nation. Oh, Ghana, oh, we are a Christian nation. You know, as for that statement, it's funny because we say we are a Christian nation, but what shows we are a Christian nation? What shows? I mean, nothing shows we are a Christian nation, except the fact that, yes, we have churches and there's proliferation of churches. Nobody arrests anyone. We can worship freely. We do dumb broadcasts. We do all nights. We have radio station, Christian radio. I mean, yes, fine. But in terms of the effect of Christianity in the society, it's not really showing. It's not showing because per the statistical service, the last census that was done, if indeed Christians, as we claim, are the majority, then the life of Christ, the Christ life, the Christ-like life should have been prevailing in the society. But that's not what we are seeing. that's not what we are seeing in the society. I mean, it's very sad and unfortunate, but that's not what we are seeing. I was very saddened when recently someone I was somewhere and the man said that he struggled with various managers in his company until, you know, when you hear some things, you hear the word like until, that means it was bad until. So it negates all that you have heard earlier. So he struggled with managers for his company until he got a Muslim to become his manager. And now he can peacefully be away, travel, and everything will be successful. No stealing. Accountability. Correct. And what he said that was even more painful and disappointing was one was even, you know, I'm sorry, pain. No. And this is the reality. This is what is happening. No. This is the state of the church in Ghana. We say we are a Christian majority country. You know, if I'm to open the phone lines now for business owners to complain about their workers who have been stealing and they've sacked, how many of those workers were Christians? I dare say, if not 100%. I mean, this is the reality. This is the reality of what we say we are a Christian nation. And it's so disappointing. You know, my sister in Accra, one of my sisters in Accra, someone who supplies her some items for her work and all that, she told me that she can leave the money with the pay the man weeks, like, oh, the goods, I mean, has not arrived, it's not arrived. So when it comes, this man would send the dispatch, take it to the house, go and give it to my sister. But my sister said that she would not have done so if it was a Christian, to leave that money and expect that the goods will come indeed when the goods come. She said no, she would not have done it. But for the other religion, she can confidently trust because there's a track record. The man has proven himself. You know, this is the reality we are talking about. And you see, my senior brother, the one I come after, I mean, he says it all the time. He said, you know, when we are talking about these things, he says, the state of this country, the blame goes to only one institution. He doesn't blame the politicians. He blames the church. And he will give reasons why he blames the church. And I agree with him. I agree with him because the church has failed the nation. It's time we say things as it is. That we have failed the nation as Christians. We have failed the nation as Christians. You know, it's just too bad that when crime is committed and you are to ask the people which religion they are affiliated to, you'll be shocked, or you shouldn't be shocked when you hear that some will mention that they are in this church, they are in that church, they are in this church, they are in that church. You know, Tamam Roberts were arrested in Central some time back, and you know, some had armbands of some churches they attend, armbands on their hands. Armed robbers. How can that be? Why should it be so? You know, so we really have a crisis. But we are playing the ostrich, pretending all is well, because Sunday people will dress, people will be in church, and we'll sing and dance, give offerings, pay tithes, sow seeds, whatever, and it's like, oh, all is well. So we think all is well. All is not well. The salt that Jesus said we should be the salt of the earth. We should be the light. I mean, is that what we have become? No. Because the darkness in this country, the darkness is largely being contributed by Christians. The darkness in this country, the evil deeds in this country is largely being contributed by Christians. Go and do a survey. How many of the chief directors and the directors in our ministries and the institutions, how many are Christians, how many are Muslims? Do the comparison. Majority are Christians. But the biggest deals, the biggest deals are happening in these same places. It's happening in these same places. So when we stop tickling ourselves and deceiving ourselves that we are doing well as a church, and we face the reality that no, we have failed, what should we do to correct ourselves? Until we get to that point, to the point of realization that enough is enough, we need true revival in our system. We need a true revival in the body of Christ. The tangent on which we are headed now is no good. No. The tangent we are headed now as the body of Christ in Ghana is not good. It's not good. So, you see, when I look at what is happening in these countries, and someone asks the question that, what is happening in northern Nigeria? Should it happen in Ghana? How many people will be going to church? If, God forbid, but if it does, just one case happens of a terror threat to church, the body of Christ, how many will go to church? How many? I mean, I watch the Nigerian churches, the northern churches, even within Nigeria, there are pastors who are saying that they know that when what is happening in the north gets to the south, attendance in the mega churches will dwindle to the lowest minimum, because they know that the people are not equipped spiritually to stand persecution. They know they are not ready for it. No. They are not ready for it. But this northern Nigeria, tomorrow, Sunday, some people will be kidnapped. I mean, virtually, it's a ritual. It's like every Sunday it happens in a village or the other. It will happen. But tomorrow, this evening, some are getting ready to go to church tomorrow, knowing very well that tomorrow something can happen. Tomorrow may be their last day in church. Tomorrow may be when they'll be kidnapped or arrested and taken into the whatever their camps. I mean, some have been in camps for this week. I heard one pastor talk about it. I mean, pastors have been killed, their daughters and wives taken to these camps. Some have been there for over a year. I mean, these are the realities. And yet tomorrow they will go. They will go to church. Tomorrow they will go to church, knowing very well what they are going to, the potential of whatever can happen. See, so their understanding of Christianity is far different from what we are talking about here. No, it's, the difference is not the same. No, it's not the same. And it's time we, see, when you hear these things, what is happening in other countries, the persecution they are facing and all that, we shouldn't think we are above these things, though, because it's a process. As the world becomes anti-God, gradually we'll also get to that point. But we should be equipped enough to be able to face that season, because at the current state of the church, we are not ready to face that season. No. We are not ready. We are nowhere near ready to face that season. Let me finish with this news, last one. An LGBT festival in the shadow of Sodom. That's the headline. What Pride Land symbolizes for Israel. A celebration is rising in one of the most haunted places on earth. And for many watching, it feels less like progress and more like a warning echoing from the past. In early June 2026, thousands are expected to gather along the shores of Dead Sea for Pride Land, a four-day festival billed as the largest LGBT celebration in the Middle East has ever seen. Organizers promise a temporary Pride City in the Judean desert, complete with hotels, beach venues, music stages, and even family-friendly programming. How can there be family-friendly programming at the LGBT celebration? Hey, okay. Israel's official government channels have promoted it with a striking phrase, "Pride rises at the lowest place on earth." Oh, these people. At first glance, it reads like clever marketing. But for many Christians who love and stand with Israel, those words land very differently. Because the lowest place on earth is not just a geographical fact. It's a place layered with memory, biblical, historical, and deeply spiritual. And that is where the story begins to shift from celebration to something far more sobering. The region surrounding the Dead Sea has long been associated with the account of Sodom and Gomorrah described in Genesis 19. The meaning of that story has endured across generations. A society given over to moral confusion, ultimately facing divine judgment. That is why this moment feels so jarring. Not simply because a festival is happening, but because of where it is happening. There is an unavoidable contrast between the ancient warning tied to this land and the modern message being proclaimed upon it. What was once remembered as a place of reckoning is now being rebranded as a place of celebration. Wow. And for many believers, that inversion is difficult to ignore. It raises a deeper question. Are we witnessing a cultural progress or spiritual amnesia? To understand the weight of this moment, one must understand Israel itself, a nation unlike any other. Modern Israel is a vibrant democracy, deeply integrated into the global world, yet rooted in an ancient identity that stretches back thousands of years. Over time, it has emerged as one of the most progressive countries in the region on LGBT issues, legally and culturally. At the same time, it remains a nation internally divided, with large segments of its population holding firmly to traditional biblical views of morality. Pride Land sits directly in the middle of that divide. It's not just a festival, it's a statement, a declaration about the direction of a nation still wrestling with its soul. And perhaps that is what makes this moment so significant, because it is not happening in a vacuum. It's unfolding in a land where faith is not merely personal, it's foundational. For Christians around the world, the response has not been one of outrage, but of grief. There is a long and deeply rooted love for Israel within the Christian community. Many see the nation not just as geographical ally, but as a central thread of God's redemptive story. They pray for its peace. They defend its existence. They celebrate its resilience. So when something like this emerges, the reaction is not rejection. It is lament. It echoes another moment in biblical history when the people of Israel, newly delivered from Egypt, stood in the wilderness and fashioned a golden calf. It was not merely an act of rebellion. It was a misplacement of worship, a turning towards something immediate and visible instead of the God who had just revealed his power. That story lingers because it feels familiar. You know, this article is talking about something that is happening in June, the Pride Month. And, you know, it's one of the, when they are doing their Pride Month in Israel, it's the largest celebration. And, you know, I've said this before here on this program, that the people of Sodom and Gomorrah, they were jokers. They didn't know what they were. They were joking. They were not doing the thing as this generation is taking it to another level. And what makes it serious is that at the time of Sodom and Gomorrah being destroyed, they didn't have any word of God to warn them. No pastor, no prophet, no evangelist, nothing. There was no caution to warn them that repent for your sins to be forgiven or be destroyed. They didn't get that caution. They didn't get that notice, 24-hour notice, 26-hour, 20 whatever. They didn't get any notice, repent or perish. All they had was the brimstone, that is it. This generation, fast forward how many thousands of years, there is no LGBT person who doesn't know the story of Sodom. No. They know it to the point where we have even coined the word of the sin from the name Sodomy. So they know the story of, they know it, and they even joke with it. And that's what they are going to do this June in Israel. They are going there, the very place, physical location. They are just going there to provoke God, to tell God that, God, you can do your worst. We don't care. We are going, this generation, the previous people that you killed, they were joking. We are very serious. We know the sin and how to do it well. That's what they are going to tell God. How can you have family friendly? See, sometimes when you read some of these news items, your mind, but this is how depraved the society has become. A depraved, complete society, broken down, something that is abominable, now being seen as a pride. Even the word pride that they even use to describe the pride month, even pride itself, the Bible says it's a sin. And pride upon another abominable sin. And they are going to do it at a place where God once upon a time sent his punishment. You know, there is something significant. Genesis 19. Let me just read it. You know, when Abraham was negotiating with God, whether there are 50 people he would destroy, negotiated. You know, it's something that makes you wonder the love of God. Because God was still willing to have mercy. He was still willing. Genesis 19, verse 1. And there came two angels to Sodom at even. And Lot sat at the gates of Sodom, and Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face to the ground. No, let me start from the 18. I think I need, what I need is in 18. Okay, there's a minute. Okay, so Abraham negotiated, started from 50 and all that. But then see, it takes for God himself to come down. Says that he wants to go and see it himself. It's like what he's seeing. I mean, when you read it, it's like, I mean, God is so surprised by what they were, the lifestyle then. God himself has to just come down. There were two instances where this did something like that. I mean, the Tower of Babel one, and then this one. And you see, so at verse 32, and he said, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak but this once, peradventure, if 10 shall be found. And he said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. And the Lord went his way as soon as he had left communicating with Abraham. So, and Abraham returned to his place. So negotiate till 10. But we had only Lot and the wife and the children. And this is a sad situation. And instead of people learning from this, as a case that is so serious, we said no. We want to repeat the lifestyle of these people at even a larger way, in a larger way, to provoke God. There's no fear of God again. There is no fear of God. And this spirit is really on the rampage in the world. I'm saying this for a reason. Yesterday, what I said, let me just say it now because it connects to this. This prophet friend called me. It's like, you know, we're discussing something else. He called me to discuss something else. But then he brought in something that happened this week in his house. His daughter goes to school in class 2. A girl in class 2 receives a letter from another girl. And the letter is a proposal for a marriage ceremony. The two girls to arrange a marriage ceremony somewhere in the school premises somewhere. I'm talking of class 2, not form 2. Class 2, presumably 8 years then. To organize a marriage ceremony between the two girls. So a proposal, one girl to another. One girl to a prophet's daughter. And I don't know, this is, you know, this generation, God help us. God help us. Because this is happening in schools. You know, we've talked about last year, we talked with the SU, Reverend Billy Bonsu, we talked about what is happening in the secondary schools, what SU is doing, and what parents should do. At least we shed the light for parents to know what is happening and all that. But we are talking of class 2 now. Class 2, 8-year-old. And receiving a proposal for lesbian relationship. You know, yesterday when he told me, I was like, what is happening? So he said to us, God, on Monday, he's going to the school to inform the authorities, because he's been so, devastated and confused, let me put it that way. Angry, everything combined. This is the generation we are in. You know, I started with the Israel one for a purpose, for people to understand what is happening somewhere else. But to let you understand that it is happening somewhere else, but the spirit is moving undercurrents in our country as well, in our schools, in our churches. And look around there, more serious. No? This is the world we are in. This is the generation that has decided to go the way of Sodom and Gomorrah. And the children are not being spared. See, the devil has really sent the agents into the schools, as I said earlier. They are in the schools. So, you know, when we say these things, is to give the parents a heads up to wake up. Previously, there were discussions which you would think the children are too young, so we wait when they are of age before we bring it up and talk about. But if class 2 lesbian proposals are being sent, then it means it's time for parents to really talk about the real deal, to talk about things. I mean, when you hear some things happening in some schools, I mean, you'll be shocked. I mean, you can't talk about everything on radio, but I mean, this is the world we are in. So parents, you know, the role of parenting, I keep saying it, but this generation, I don't believe there's any generation that has faced the most difficult challenge of being a parent than ours, this generation. To be a parent in this generation, I see it as you need serious grace, serious divine wisdom, serious knowledge. You know, you need to be knowledgeable even about the systems, because your lack of knowledge even can be a danger to your family, because your lack of knowledge means some things will happen right under your nose and you don't even know. So to be a parent in this generation means it's like almost a full-time job. You need to be fully equipped spiritually, socially, mentally, emotionally. You need to be all around everything. You need to be really ready to be a parent, indeed, to be a good, successful parent, except the grace of God. Because, you see, I mean, if this is happening to a prophet's daughter, a prophet's daughter who, like, they prayed, a whole lot, and still is receiving proposals for lesbianism in class 2. Hey, and your mom bump out of you, so there. Hey, trouble. If those who are praying are receiving lesbian proposals at class 2, then homes where there's no prayer, please open up and get serious with prayer, because the season is really something else. the season is something else. We cannot pretend all is well. I mean, that's what I keep saying. We cannot pretend all is well because all is not well. The undercurrents, you know, we've talked of undercurrents. It's like if you stand in the sea, I mean, I do that often. Anytime, most times I go to Accra, I'm not too far from the beach. When you stand in the sea, you know, you realize that the sea is moving under your leg. You are moving under. The undercurrents can be, those are the ones that can really drag people away and drown them and all that. And undercurrents are very dangerous. So it's like you don't see it. It's not like the big waves, so, but under, it's moving under. It's moving under. It's moving. That is what is happening. When I mean the undercurrents, this LGBT thing is an undercurrent moving under in the society. It's moving in the schools. It's moving. And you see, the agents are working. The money is moving. They are doing what they are doing. And it's time we really become bold about this thing and talk about it. It's time churches address it. You know, our culture has also put us in a certain fix. We don't talk about some things in our culture, you know, like it's a bit of, you know, we don't talk about some things. We don't talk about sex. We don't talk about all the, you know, I mean, our cultural values makes it a bit of a taboo of a sort. So, it's not intentional, but unconsciously, it has influenced us to shut up about some of these things. So it's not being talked about. It's not a discussion that is done at homes. It's not a discussion that is done even from the pulpit. How many pastors are bold to even talk about it? You know, so it's like we've pretended, oh, all is well, all is well. It's just some people who are doing it. It's as if it's some far away thing. It's not close. It's not near. It's not really something that we should talk about. And I really, really, really think we have to wake up as Christians and be very serious about it. You know, there's a reason why, I mean, Pastor Hetty couldn't make it this evening so that I could really address this issue fully from this perspective. Because if we don't pray, we don't talk about it, someone else will talk to them about it. And that is where the problem lies. If we, the parents, don't talk about it with them, someone else will talk to them about it. And that is where they learn things from the wrong angle, the wrong side. Because you see, if it's coming from the church, it's coming from the Sunday school, it's coming from the parents, the message is different. It's about educating, it's about caution, it's a sin that God hates, it's a sin that can take you to hell. I mean, biblically, there are references, we talk about it and all. But when we are silent and we don't talk about it, those who will talk about it with them in school are those who are introducing it to them. Oh, don't worry about it. Don't listen to those old school people. Everybody is doing it. Oh, this person cry. Oh, this person. Oh, that person. Oh, so it's like, it's not too strange after all. Everybody is also, oh, this person, she's part of our group. Oh, that person, oh, he's part of our club. He's part of us. So then it's not any big deal then. Oh, you think you can't go to church and do it? But this person, she's even in the choir. She's a lead singer. It's part of us. So why should we be worried? You know, they will make it, they will sell it as a very good product for your child to buy it. That's why if we remain silent and we don't educate our children in the godly way at home, if the church remains silent and doesn't talk about this with the children, with the teenagers, with the youth, they will learn and hear about it from the satanic evangelists in their schools, in their associations, wherever. And those people, their mouths are like, you know, I don't want to use anointed, but like they are really empowered spiritually to draw souls into their kingdom. They know the deal. They know how to recruit. And they are doing it with the scale and with the money as well. So this is the caution. This evening, this is my primary message. It's a wake-up call to parents, to guardians, to church leaders, evangelists, Sunday school teachers. You know, let's find a way. Yes, culturally it's difficult, but I mean, the reality is now staring at us in the face. It's either we break the cultural taboo and talk about it head on, or we keep pretending, class two, receiving proposal for lesbian wedding, marriage, marital service, wedding. I don't know. So I'm sure they have their standing priest who officiates this service in wherever they were going to do it, at the hidden place in the school, wherever they are going to do it. For this, for the tone of the letter, that means I don't think this is the first person this girl is writing it to. Because to propose, not just proposing the love for the, but for the service, I mean the marriage ceremony. And the marriage ceremony is not just between two people. There's somebody to officiate it. So that means there's a grand LGBT agent who would officiate it, most likely a senior. Maybe class 3, class 4, higher up the grade. This is Kumasi here. I'm not talking of London or UK, US, Texas. I'm talking of, this is Kumasi. In case you think it's outside, this is Ghana. Kumasi issue is what I'm talking about. So this is a wake-up call. It's a wake-up call. Parents, it's time to be knowledgeable about these things. I mean, I believe God willing, next week, Lady LP Hetty, when she comes, you know, would want to address as to how to approach, how to talk about these things with the children, how to approach it and all that. Because we have to deliver. We have to talk about it. Because how you do it is important in the sense that what if they are in already? That's also another issue. So this whole thing is a very tactful, spirit-led approach that has to be deployed. You know, so God willing, next week we'll be going deeper about how to address it, how to talk about it as a family, how to address the issue. And I believe as we decide to go this way, God himself would guide us and show us and deliver our children from all such potential enemies and traps and agents in the schools. You know, one prayer you should be praying as a parent now for your child. Lord, deliver my child from evil agents in the class and in the school. Because they are there. Deliver my child from any satanic agents in the class or in the school. It's one prayer we should pray for our children every day as they go to school. Every day we should pray for them about that prayer. That prayer is so crucial now that God will deliver your child from any satanic agents in the class or in the school. Be it boarding, be it day. Because, see, these agents are empowered to work. And where there's no prayer, they operate freely. So we really need to pray. Rain down fire on them. Whether they would feel uncomfortable and repent, whether they will stop the school, that one. But we should pray. We have to stop the operations. We have to protect our families. And you cannot be with your child in the class. You cannot be with your child in the dormitory. So, you see, we are limited. Physically limited in the proximity, how close we can be with them in school. I mean, because they are in school alone. But the spiritual aspect of it, we have the power to be with them. We have the power to protect them. We have the power to secure them. We have to pray for them to be secured. Divine preservation, divine protection, divine covering against the, arrows of the enemy, arrows of lust, arrows of lesbianism, arrows of gays, whatever. We need to pray against these things. Pray for our children every day. Every day. We are in a time where if you have children and they are in school especially, be it from nursery, the lowest level, toddler's cry, to whichever level, the prayers for them every day should outweigh the prayer for yourself. Because they need more prayer than you yourself, the parents. They need prayer so, because we are living in an evil generation. And the evil is out there. For real. I mean, if sometimes if you are not privy to some information, you think some things are not happening. But let me tell you, the evil is out there. Indeed, it's happening. We need to secure them in the blood. We need to secure them in the blood. We need to secure them. Preservation. Pray every day. Pray for them. Every day, pray for them. This is the summary and this is the assignment that goes with what I've said today or tonight. Prayer for preservation. Our children, prayer for God's preservation, to preserve them, to protect them, to deliver them from evil friends, evil associates, evil companions, evil classmates, evil dorm mates. We need to pray. Need to pray. Well, I have some messages. Okay, Emmanuel says, Reuben, even with goods that are sold, the so-called Christians put higher profit margins compared to Muslims who sell same goods. It's very pathetic. Yes, it's very true. It's very true. I've heard about that thing. God help us. So, Asamo. Okay, I'll respond to these ones. So, well, this evening, I didn't come with a pleasant message, but it's an important message. So, we should act on it. We should act on it. We should act on it. A few years ago, someone had a vision. I just remembered. So, let me just share it a bit. Because it buttresses the same point. In it, he saw like stars, something like stars dropping from the skies onto the earth. A lot, plenty. Like stars dropping into like darkness. So like stars to drop. But then after a while, he started seeing movements on the ground. You know, it was dark. The stars drop and then it's like, it's dwindles. So like, you know, that after a while started seeing a lot of people moving. Apparently the stars were falling angels, like demons falling. And then the Lord now opened the eyes to see in the dark what really was moving. And these were demonic agents. And the Lord told him clearly, these are coming to propagates the lesbianism and the gay lifestyle in the world. And he said they were a lot. They were just dropping. They were just dropping. It's been a few years. I've forgotten the exact year, but that's exactly what we are seeing. And I believe we should take this message very seriously and allow the Holy Spirit to guide us, to know what to do in your situation, assuming whatever has happened and all that. But we need the Holy Spirit to guide us. Yeah, we need the Holy Spirit to guide us. It's so, so important in the times we are in. Because when we sleep, we'll be disappointed by the outcome. When we assume all is well, we'll be disappointed by the output of what is going to happen further down the line. And I believe pastors, deacons, church leaders, Sunday school leaders, teachers, and all who listen to this program will start talking about something, doing something about it. We have to start addressing the realities. You know, someone once said that the world where we are in now, if we just preach the Bible stories without adding the real life situations to make a case study out of it, sometimes they will miss the meaning. And it's true. The Bible stories are there. Let's add the realities of life, what is happening in our lives in the world now, to better explain the Bible stories so that it will make a stronger impact in their lives. So this is Eben. Program is Issues of Life, station Spirit 88.3 FM. Thank you for tuning in. And I believe you've been blessed. This evening is recorded. It will be uploaded to spiritissues.info. So good night and God bless you.
Content, rich, positive music from the Ashanti Kingdom through the internet at www.spiritfmonline.com. To all parts of Africa, Europe, Asia, Antarctica, Middle East, and the Americas. Spirit FM, positive soul music.